Morbius is here. It is a movie that exists, and it's a movie that I've seen. But is it really as bad as everybody's saying it is? I give you a spoiler-filled review right now on 15 Minutes of Marvel.
There was an idea.
Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
We can do this all day.
What are they called again?
Anulax batteries.
Harvey Larry batteries.
As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
I control the truth! Mysterio is the truth!
Boom. You looking for this?
What is up and welcome back to 15 Minutes of Marvel, the only podcast that gives you Marvel reviews, news, and rumors in pretty much 15 minutes. I'm your host, Ethan Simi. Today on the pod, I am going full send on a Morbius review. Spoilers and all. I was thinking of going the classic route. Listeners of the pod know I usually do a spoiler-free review of a new movie day that the movie comes out. I go spoiler-free. And then I go spoiler-filled the week after. That way everybody has a week, has some time to see the movie, form their own opinions, do a little research, and then be involved in the spoiler-filled conversation. But Morbius is here. Sony has already spoiled it online. They've already tweeted out the post-credit scenes. It's something that is happening, and it's quite frankly something that I've never seen before. It's something that I have never seen a movie studio jump the gun and be like, hey, let's spoil our own movie before it even comes out. Sony's just really throwing in the towel with this one. So I was like, what the hell? Sony, I'll join ya. Two makes for good company. So I'm throwing in the towel on this one as well. We're just going spoiler filled right from the get-go. I did see Morbius last night. It is officially released in theaters today, April 1st, and it exists. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about all my thoughts. We're going to talk about everything about this movie. And if it really is as bad as everybody is saying it is, I will answer this question as I go through the pod, because I think it is, but I also kind of need to talk through this. I need to talk through this with you all and figure out if my thinking is accurate, if it's true, or if I'm just joining the crowd. Because here's an interesting predicament that I was in the last couple of days. So I did see Morbius last night. So the night before I saw Morbius, I actually went to the same movie theater. I went to the IMAX screen and I saw an A24 special screening of Everything Everywhere All at Once. This movie is phenomenal. I highly recommend you go check it out. Of course, it's not Marvel, it's not MCU, but it is a movie unlike anything I've ever seen in my life, and it is living in my head rent-free, and I can't wait to go see it again when it comes out nationwide on April 8th. But I saw that. I had a wonderful experience seeing that. And like I said, changed my life, changed man. Wonderful, just cinema. It's cinema. It was a cinematic experience. And then the next night, I go to the same theater, and I did not go to IMAX because I knew Morbius was just didn't need to be seen in IMAX. And you all know how I feel about IMAX. I'm like, I'm the IMAX guy. Look, IMAX, if you're listening, let's partner up. Let's do something incredible together. And I love IMAX, but it just not for Morbius. And then I go see Morbius, and then I'm like, man, why can we not make good movies? Why can people not make good movies? Why can't we storytell in a pretty basic fashion? And so I really had just the ups and downs of cinematic experiences, really, and puts me in a weird boat. I'm kind of questioning a lot of things. I'm questioning my reality a little bit, but this is what it is. So if you haven't seen Morbius yet, I'm about ready to dive into spoilers. I'm going directly into the movie, into the storyline, into things that happen, as well as the final sequences and the post-credit scenes. So if you want to remain in this spoiler-free landscape that you are still living in, which I'm not sure how you're living in it, then more power to you. Turn this down or off or mute it, really. Just mute it. Let this podcast play through. Give me some listens. Do it for the stats. But then come back. Come back and listen to this podcast once you feel comfortable with the spoilers. Because the thing is, you shouldn't go see this movie. It's not worth it. I saw it, so you don't have to. And I'm trying to save you here. I'm trying to save you the grief that is going to bestow upon your life once you see this movie. I didn't like Venom. You all know this. I'm pretty open with my take on Venom and Tom Hardy. I think Tom Hardy's a pretty good actor in general. His Venom is not for me. It's not my style. It's not my tone. Sony is doing their own thing, and fans are loving it, and it's making tons of money, which good for them. You do your thing. It's not for me, and that's okay. I really didn't like Venom Let There Be Carnage. Like, I saw that, and I was like, wow, that was a waste of time. Like, I just, that was really, really bad. Morbius is just a notch, just a, maybe a half notch, like a quarter notch, really, above Let There Be Carnage. But if you like Venom, if you like that style, if you like that tone of movie, it's probably right up your alley. Honestly, 64% of people on Rotten Tomatoes of audience scores say it's good. That's pretty good, 64%. I mean, that's not terrible, but it's got a 15% critic rating right now, and that is kind of the bucket that I fall into, unfortunately. I fall into the 15%ers here because it just wasn't for me. So let's start at the beginning of this movie here. The story is incoherent. That's really kind of the basic. I think that's like the one sentence summarization of this movie, is that the story is incoherent. It just doesn't make any sense. The way that the movie starts was confusing for me. And I watch movies. I feel like I get them. I feel like I can track movies pretty good. It was confusing for me, and I don't know, maybe I was just being a dumb last night when I saw Morbius, but we were in a flashback, and then we get another flashback, and then we just get a title card that's just like an aerial shot of New York City that just says New York City, and that's it. We get no indication of like present day or like anything like that. Like, we start, and then we get 25 years earlier, and then we like get bumped up to present day, and we don't know that. And that, for me, I was like, what are we doing? What time are we in? Are we still in the past? Are we still in a flashback? Like, what's happening? So that was pretty confusing for me right off the bat. I'm going to be honest with that. I've got lots of little bullet points here that I'm going to go through about things that I didn't like. There was one thing that I did like about this movie that I will call out, and then we'll get to the post-credit scene. So the biggest issues with the story, one thing is that essentially everything is a MacGuffin. Anything that gave us a surprise or a character shock or something that we shouldn't see in order to make the story feel better and feel more surprising or regarding the Morbius serum or anything like that, just a straight MacGuffin. And here is the perfect example. So we get a test on a lab rat, essentially, of the Morbius serum to see if it works, and the rat dies, and okay, it was a failure. Dr. Michael Morbius gets called into another room. This girl starts having a stroke. They induce her into a coma before she has the stroke in order to save her life. And then one of the doctors in the room, Martine, really like his partner in all of this, looks over and is like, Michael, the rat, it worked. It's alive. And it's like, we don't care about this girl that almost just fucking died? Like, this is just a MacGuffin in the movie for us to not see that the rat has come back to life? That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. And there's no other point to this girl having a massive medical emergency other than for us not to see this rat come back to life. So I don't get that. I don't like that. The story doesn't align, like, at all. And here are my not very succinct points on why it doesn't align. One moment, Morbius is telling his love interest, Martine, which I question mark, his love interest, it just appears out of nowhere and like they kiss twice, and I don't get that either. That's a whole other thing. But essentially, Morbius tells her, you know, you've got to cover up this cut on your finger because he's slowly starting to turn into his Morbius state at the sight and smell of blood, right? The very next scene, literally the next single scene, is him trying to save his childhood doctor that is lacerated and just downright covered in blood. Covered in human blood that would, according to the story, according to what we just learned, initiate his Morbius phase or his Morbius state or make him into his living vampire, his abilities. And nothing? Nothing happens. No reaction at all whatsoever. And then to make this even worse, same thing in the next scene, right? Martine is kind of being used as bait in this trap to lure Morbius to this place, and she has blood all over her. Morbius does not break out a single time. It doesn't exist. Not there. So then why is Morbius coming out? Why is the living vampire phase of him coming out when she gets this little tiny cut and one single drop of blood? It doesn't align. I'm confused, because wouldn't you think that if he starts to turn into Morbius, then if he goes to someone that's covered in blood, he would inevitably turn into into Morbius. Like that's the point. That's the whole thing. That didn't work for me. Another misalignment I just couldn't wrap my head around was the timeline for this transformation, right? So Morbius has time before artificial blood is going to stop being enough for him, and then he has to graduate to human blood. I feel like this is kind of the underlying reason for this movie, which, again, like, I don't know the reason for this. I don't understand what the issue is here. What's our conflict? What are we moving towards? I didn't really... wasn't super clear, wasn't very clear-ish. And so he has some time before he has to graduate to human blood, which he says he's never going to do, and then immediately does, like two scenes later, sucks Martine dry, turns her into a living vampire, and just goes full hog on the human blood. So again, that was a thing that happened. That just doesn't work for me. It just, you can't just flip the switch like that with no tension. But look, his friend... the enemy, the guy with the really nice hair, which, you know, I thought was okay. It was fine, but not enough to really save this movie. He takes the same vampire serum and is essentially just immediately just sucking down human blood, just putting them back one after the other, just goes straight to human blood. He's like, fuck that artificial shit. Get it out of here. I'm onto the red, as he called it, which is... yeah, like kind of a really funny, stupid joke. Like, I see you've enjoyed some of the red. It's like, yeah, man, his blood is red, I guess. I don't know. But he's a full-blown baddie right from the start. How come we don't get the same timeline for this guy that took the same exact serum? Why does he not get the same timeline as Morbius? Is he just a corrupt guy who's just like, fuck that? Like, I'm just going straight for human blood instead of artificial stuff? Is Morbius like kind of good at his core? He's like, yeah, I gotta just like stave off the human blood as long as I can, and I'll try my hardest. But like, why did that work so quickly? And then again, with the timeline issues, how come Morbius was able to hone his abilities so quickly, right? I why was he able to dodge bullets right away? Why was he able to fly in a subway tunnel basically right away? Like, he learns all of his abilities exceptionally quickly, and we get zero character development. We get no understanding of Michael Morbius figuring out who he is, who he has become, and it just is a given. It's just accepted. It's just like, here we are, and you can do these things now, and that is what it is. And that was one of the biggest single issues for me, is that we don't get any sort of character development or understanding of why we have these powers and what we can do with these powers, and really honing the powers. Like, just give me like a 3-minute montage of him figuring out what he can do and being surprised. And then that at least gives me some context to be like, he's tried to learn, and now we kind of understand better. Whereas now it's like, oh, cool. Like, I'm a vampire. I'm a living vampire, and I don't know how to do everything. So that was another really, really big issue for me. I don't really know what triggers the Morbius reaction. Like I said, it could have been could be blood. It seems to be anger from what I see in the movie, but like, there are several instances where it just like comes on, where it just like Morbius just like starts showing up, and you're like, I don't, okay. Like, I guess we're just gonna transform. So there's that. Like I said, the love interest doesn't really materialize until the third and final act. And even then, it just feels super artificial. There's no deep connection. There's no meaning really behind any of that. And then she gets turned into a living vampire at the end, which is a thing that happens. Let's talk about the cops real quick before we talk about the post-credit scene. Holy shit, the cops. Wow. Why are they even in this movie? Why? Why? What are they like? They're like FBI, or they're like New York cops, or like what? I don't quite know. They question Dr. Michael Morbius. They get him to jail, and he immediately escapes. They learn nothing. They understand nothing more about him or what he's doing or how he is Morbius or anything. They're so bad at their jobs. It's freaky. It's like kind of unreal. Like, let's shake a litter box for a cat, and if the cat doesn't show up, well, I guess the cat's not here. Like, what? I'm just shocked. I'm just shocked that's a thing like that we did. And I don't I quite clearly do not understand why they're in this movie at all. They just gave us filler scenes showing up every single time one of the Morbius creatures would kill a bunch of people. And they would show up late and then be like, oh, man, they're killing people on our streets. We can't have that. And then that would be it. And then they'd move on to the next crime scene. And that was kind of the thing of that. The one thing I did like, I will say the one thing I did like, and I'm going to stand by this, and I feel like a lot of people are saying they didn't like this, and I actually really liked it. I liked the smoke VFX. I thought that the smoke every time they fought or like jumped or flew or moved or like whatever it was, thought the smoke was kind of cool. I liked that. I haven't seen that before. I think it was executed quite well, and it was pretty cool. But that's the one thing. I mean, that really, that's the one single thing I liked about Morbius, which is pretty sad, I'll be honest. That's pretty sad. Let's talk about the final sequences and the post-credit scenes. You get this massive battle at the very end of it. Martine turns into a living vampire. Bang, movie's over. It's done. And I knew I could telegraph it from a mile away. I was like, oh, this is the end. Like, really? We're going to end the movie with an exceptionally deliberate sequel setup just right in your face. It's zero resolution to any storyline that have just been fed for 90 minutes, other than the fact that, like, the bad guy is dead, like, Milo is dead, apparently now, like, doesn't exist, no conclusion. I just don't understand, we still don't understand why we're getting a sequel, or need anything, or vampires just live in the Sony universe now. So the post-credit scenes, talking about the Sony universe, we've got the first one, which is really just an unexplained universe jump for Vulture, for Michael Keaton, who was originally slated to have lots more screen time in this movie and then was scrubbed. And he was gone. He was out. He is the second top billed actor in this movie, and he shows up for fucking 60 seconds. That's a thing that happened. So I just don't quite understand what happened with the re-editing and scrubbing and all of these things. So apparently, Vulture now exists in this Morbius Sony verse, and we still don't know what Spider-Man exists there. We didn't get anything to Spider-Man, which we had hunches that we would get Andrew Garfield or some indicator of what Spider-Man was going to be in this universe. And then we get this really cheesy line about him hoping the food is better here, which just the jokes were just 0 for 100 for me. Nothing landed, just like at all. And then we get the second post-credit scene, meeting Vulture at like 3 a.m. in this field outside of city, this abandoned field, just right outside of the city. We never see Michael Keaton's face, by the way. So you know they couldn't get Michael Keaton on set. They couldn't get him to look good in the Vulture suit. So we just scrubbed out his face and we just got our Vulture suit mask, which is not really how he talks in Spider-Man Homecoming, like at all. He never looks like the way that he does, so that's a thing. Teaming up with Morbius. I'm not against the team-up. I actually think the team-up is kind of cool. I'm kind of here for it. I'm like, yeah, cool. Like, Morbius, Vulture, like, okay, that's kind of cool. We're going to team up against who? Against what? We don't know. We still don't know what Spider-Man lives in this universe. We still don't understand anything else that is happening in this universe. And like I said, I'm not against the team-up. I'm against the fact that, like, they've literally never fucking met. And they meet in some abandoned field at 3 a.m. And Vulture's like, we gotta team up. Morbius is like, yeah, we do. Like, well, how do you know each other? I don't know. None of that makes sense. So really just quite a Sony thing to do, I'm gonna be honest with you. So I gave this movie 1.5 stars on Letterboxd out of 5. It's not for me. The fighting, the script, dialogue, character development, all extremely lacking. And just, like, not even entertaining. It's not even, like, so bad it's good. It's just, like, so bad it's really bad. And, like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry Sony put this out. I'm sorry if you like this movie. If you like this movie, I am happy for you. I'm genuinely excited for you. And I think it's fantastic. And I'll leave you with this. I'll leave you with one thought here. I try to stick up for Jared Leto. I really do. I genuinely liked him in House of Gucci. I thought he was genuinely very entertaining. And I thought he was fun in that movie. And he just continues to take L after L after L. And this guy just can't make a good movie. I don't know. I like I said, House of Gucci was the exception for me. I thought it was good. But like, he just can't figure it out. And Morbius is not a step in the right direction. And so slowly but surely, I'm unhitching my wagon to the Jared Leto train. And I feel like I'm one of the last remaining survivors on this train anyway. And I feel really bad, Jared, but look, come on the pod and convince me otherwise. Jared Leto, come on the pod, open invitation. Come on, let's have a chat. Talk about what's going on. And maybe you can get me back on the train full-fledged like I was just a little bit ago, just a while ago, just a few months. So Morbius is a movie. It happened. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. I want to know, what did you think of Morbius? Let me know on Twitter, at 15 Minute Marvel. I always want to know. I want to hear your thoughts, hot takes, good or bad. Tell me why I'm absolutely wrong, and this is one of your favorite superhero movies of all time. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on any major podcast platform. A huge shout out to the patrons of this show: Brandon Clark, Kajir Shakib, Reagan Knopp, Alan Cole Peacock, Ben Lawhorn, Corelli, Christina, Mike Zego, TJ Zorich, and Jessica. Thank you all so much. I suggest going to visit the Patreon page of this pod if you are not a Patreon right now. Got some pretty fun stuff lined up for April. I'm pretty excited. Bonus episodes, shout out on air. You get to choose the topic of an episode every so often. Lots of really good things coming down the pipeline for the Patreon, so go check that out. I will see you back here next time. I am Ethan Sinney, and remember, always go higher, further, and faster.